don't remember anything that I...
Cause there
good Lord, I don't know what else they could... Of course, lots of times I think, oh, that time, just thinking, like in, just thinking a year. What happens? Mm-hmm. You can write a whole book about a year.
Yeah, or you compress it into nothing. Well, there were a couple of things from the war years that I wanted to ask you a little bit about. It dawned on me that when we started out talking about the war years, you talked about your apartment. But I think that I did not get a good enough description to get a sense of how crowded it was. So I wanted you to describe that for me, because you talked about your son sleeping on the couch. So you can tell me about the arrangements of the...
Have you ever been on the New York subway, like in rush hour? I think. Plenty of room. Yeah, we had one bedroom. And, well, the way we managed it was, because I worked nights. I was never home. I must have worked Saturday night, too. I thought I worked only 5 days. But I'm sure. And in the bedroom, there was a large... you know, whatever size, not a huge bed, but a double bed. And the girl slept on that, and a little cot in the corner for Bill. Though I don't remember Bill sleeping on it. I remember Kathleen slept on it. Anyway, now I think that was that. And then Kenny slept on a sort of a day bed thing in the living room.
And then you would sleep where?
I slept at my job. No, I slept during the day. See, I came home in the morning, get them out, and I'd get into bed.
So you'd sleep in the bedroom, though?
Yeah, in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then on Sundays, I guess we just had to double up somehow. Because I remember saying, because Grace used to tell people that she lived next door, and some boy had to bring her home, walk her home from school or something. She said she lived next door. I said, why? She said, well, I don't want anybody to come in here and see everybody sleeping on the chairs and tables and everything. I said, we won't be asleep during the day.
So you had the one bedroom, living room, and kitchen.
Yeah.
Where the five of you.
Yes, but we were lucky. We were very lucky to get that. It was, and to get it so soon, it was just 2 weeks and we got that place.
Now, where would you eat? When the family ate together, like on Sunday.
Well, there really wasn't. This kitchen was tiny. Because the whole house, the whole duplex was tiny. So I don't believe we could all sit at the table together, five of us. Because I remember waiting on the children to have them sit at the table. And then, after we were here a little while, there was always so much to-ing and fro-ing that somebody was always out.
Yeah.
You couldn't corral them for time for meals.
Well, how much time would you spend over at your brother and sister-in-law's? Would you go over there?
Oh, no. I occasionally I'd go over there and see them, but not often because, they were working and I was working and didn't have time.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was you when you were telling me about the raid and Kenny getting arrested.
Oh, yeah. He didn't get arrested.
Well, picked up. And you talked about the pig pants. I was wondering, did the boys also wear the zoot suit jackets, or was that only among the Mexican youth?
Well, Kenny didn't have one of those, and I don't remember the... particularly anyone who, any friends of his that had them. But, I don't remember. But he had those pants.
Now, since you lived in East L.A., basically.
Pardon me?
Since you lived in the East L.A. area, they would have had more contact with the Mexican youth. Is that
we weren't far from here in the... Cypress area, it's called. We weren't really in East Los Angeles. This is the north, northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, East Los Angeles is quite a way, I think. Anyway, there were a lot of Mexican kids around here. The first day that Kenny went to school, which was the day after we arrived here, they went to school. My sister-in-law lived right near the junior high where they were going to go to school. And they went went the next morning. And when Kenny came home in the afternoon, he came into the house and he said he wanted to go right out again or whatever. And his friend was waiting for him, two friends. My sister-in-law looked out the window and she said, "Don't let him go with those kids. They're Mexicans." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with him?" She said, "They're Mexicans." I said, "Well, if that's all that's wrong with him, I don't care. If Kenny can pick his own friends." And those two fellows, one of them now lives in San Francisco, but the other brother still lives here in around here in Los Angeles. And he married a girl that they all went to school with too, and they've been friends. They were friends ever after. They're still friends of ours. And that fellow was the nicest fellow you'd ever want to meet anywhere.
So the schools had a fair number of Mexican children.
Yes, I think they, because that school was something else. Came home and go now. Grace was 12. Grace was in junior high anyway. And Grace was a little girl.
Petite?
Yeah. No, it wasn't that she was so small, but she was a little girl with pigtails and, and a pleated skirt and a cardigan or whatever. She came home from school that first day. Oh, mother. All the kids in the school, they wear pancake makeup. They had their hair up in a big updo. And when the boys were terrible, the teacher said to some boy, "Do something or another." And he said, "Jesus, do I have to?" And I said, "What?" I thought, the school building was going to fall in on him or something. I said, "What did the teacher say?" So the teacher said, "Don't be praying around here. Do what I tell you." Nothing, they didn't think anything of it. So it was a very new experience to them. The girls used to steal things hide them in their hair, and stuff that my children had never heard of.
Well, I was curious mainly in terms of what the relationship was, since you were in an area that did have a large Mexican and Chicano population, because I was surprised when I thought about it afterwards. I thought, gee, I always thought in the 40s that the peg pants and the zoot suits were primarily worn by the Chicano and black youth. So when
that's true.
Pants, I wonder if that...
But of course, our children of that age, they think they're individuals. But they're like sheep. They're in uniform all the time. They have to have everything. If you have, like, well, he wore those shoes, had extra soles put on them. Now, if I had told him he had to wear a pair of shoes, ordinary soles, he would have been disgraced.
So at that particular school, they did get into that kind of style.
Yeah. And I suppose it seemed to me that everywhere you ever went, all around, it was all the same. These kids all had to dress alike. And then the girls, the Mexican girls wore white knee socks, socks up to about here. And then they wore usually a black skirt and a white blouse. I remember a lot of them having. And then they had this upswept hair and the makeup. And but Grace, neither of my daughters wore all that stuff. And they did. So I guess with the girls, the Mexican girls dressed like that, I guess the other girls didn't, because my girls didn't even think about dressing, wearing those. They thought it was pretty outlandish. And
what high school did they go to?
They went to Franklin.
Uh-huh.
It's right up the street.
Yeah. So the schools were, what would you say, as much as half Mexican?
Well, I really don't have any idea, actually, and I didn't pay any attention to it at the time, we weren't conscious of counting how many kids were of each color were in the school.
I say, I'm surprised that the Anglo boys were wearing those clothes and thought that maybe it's because L.A.
Paddies. Patties, they were called. The white boys were called Patties. Well, I guess you didn't want to be a Patty, you know, if everybody else was a, not your kind of
Pachuco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, was Pachuco then used, say, by your sons, pejoratively?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It was just sort of, I guess, because, you know, this kid was a Pachuco, you know, that way. But not, you know, not that they felt it was going to come off on them or anything, the way people, some people do, my sister-in-law.
Now, but did they distinguish between some Mexican youth who were Pachucos and others who were not? Or were all Mexican youth considered Pachucos?
Gee, I don't know. They'd be the ones that would have to remember that. I don't know. I know they, these friends of Kenny's, they came home from school that first day, and he went with them ever since. Well, they weren't Pachucos. They were Mexicans, but they weren't Pachucos. And I guess they wore peg top pants, because all kids wore them. Mm-hmm. It was like wearing jeans mm-hmm. now, you know, everybody wore them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all boys wore them. But now they, I know Richard and Eddie, they weren't Pachucos. Mm-hmm. I guess Pachuco wasn't quite the thing.
That was more like a gang.
They belonged to the gangs, and, you know, they were pretty bad. They thought they were, anyway. I guess they weren't anything like the kids now.
Do you recall the Zoot Suit Orianson? Because when you talked about his clothes, you dated it in terms of this being before the Zoot Suit riots.
I remember when the riots and the... Well, see, I was always gone off to work. I just knew they went on. I never saw anything of them. And at that time, I was going to Lincoln High School. I don't know why I wasn't going up here to Franklin, but somehow Lincoln. No, but I was studying Spanish or something. I don't know. I've always been going to school for something or another. And I was going to Lincoln High School, and one night when I was going to the school or came out from the school, I don't know which, this man was walking by, and I didn't, you know, I don't know where he came from, but here all of a sudden there's this man there, and I was startled, you know, and I leave, and he actually said sorry. You know, he was just, poor man, he was just walking by, but he could see that it, he frightened me, and that was why, because of, you know, all the things that were going on, but of course, but nobody, you never heard much about anybody bothering just people or molesting a woman or anything. Those Pachucos and that stuff, they, that trouble was with the servicemen.
Mm-hmm.
Servicemen resented these kids being free to wear all the peg tops and everything. And they just started all that fuss. That's pretty bad.
When you mentioned going to the school, while you were working night shift at Lockheed, were you going?
Yeah, I used to go to school in the evening.
Yeah, before you went to work?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What were you taking during the war years then?
Who knows? Oh, one time I was taking drawing for drafting. What do you call that? I forget. Because I thought I might get a job at Lockheed. I had a friend that was... remember the girl that played somebody, Butterfly and the Queen, you know who she is? This black girl that played the girl in Gone with the Wind, who, you know, she was going to deliver the baby for the... whoever had the baby in Gone with the Wind. And then she didn't know anything about it, really. She was... Well, she, that actress, she worked there, and she told me she worked in the drafting. And that's why she said, you know, why didn't I work there? Mechanical drawing, I guess you call it. But I never got a job there.
was this while you were riveting or once you were in the clerical department?
Well, Butterfly I met in my... No, I was riveting when I met her first. And then I went for Spanish and English and mathematics, you know, whatever. It was cheaper than going to the movies, which I couldn't afford, but it was something to do. It was more fun than the movies.
So almost all the warriors with all this heavy sketching, you still fit in.
I think most of it. Yeah, I always did, because I don't remember ever not going to school only when my children were babies and I couldn't get out. My brother gave me a Boston University. Well, it was that time, it was Boston College. They had a home study course, and he had done it, and he gave me the whole thing, and I used to do that instead.
Because I was wondering how much more formal education you have, because it's been obvious to me that along the line, you picked up considerably more than the brief period you've been in high school.
Oh, because I've always been reading, and I read, and I told you, I just read everything. When you say, what do you read, you know, I can't say Barbara Cartland, that lady that made all the million jobs. That reminds me of fellow that I swim with said to, I told him why I had to leave early last week, and he asked me, what are you going to do with it? And so I said, it's just for research. He said, come on. He said, that lady is going to write a book. It's going to be a bestseller and an X-rated movie.
Well, thus far, you're the only one who's come close enough to even an R.
Oh, darn, I thought I was X-rated. Suppose if somebody else, who wants to use this? I can't imagine who.
Hopefully, as we move on, I want to get into
some. Oh, yeah.
But what I'd like to do, having asked about your housing in Zuzutsu, I want to go back to right around the point that the layoffs were beginning to occur in clerical. You said you were not among
among the very first, but not, it wasn't too long, I guess, after that my number came up.
And what was your feeling at that point?
What am I going to do? If only these kids would stop eating. No, I just wondered, you know, but I didn't come unglued altogether because I just thought, I'll have to get a job, so I will, you know.
Do you remember how you were told about your layoff?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember anything about it. The only thing I remember about that at all is that when we went to get our terminal papers there, termination, I guess they called it. Yeah, that was when people began to call things by fancy names. You know, when I was young, you got fired. You got terminated. I remember going to the office to collect our final pay and give them our badge and our identification stuff. I can just remember being in that office because talking to other people, you know, and that's all.
And then you mentioned that you did collect an appointment.
Yeah, I did. I collected it, I don't know, I think it seemed like about 10 or 12 weeks that that went on. It wasn't very long. And I collected it almost that long. I was laid off in November. Before Thanksgiving.
So then
I got a job, I think, in like January.
So November of 45.
Yeah.
After the war ended.
Yes.
So you were actually there for 3 months after the end of the war.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Well, I can't remember the... The only thing I remember was when Franklin Roosevelt died. I don't remember... the D days and the E days and the whatever days they were that was the end of the war.
VJ Day.
I remember that. I remember the end of the First World War. That's a little kid. We didn't go to school.
Well, When the point at which you were laid off, since it was 3 months after the end of the war, how many people were left in your department at that point?
I don't know. No idea. I know that gradually people were going. You know,
were you among the last?
No. I think there were still people mm-hmm. working there.
Because you must have had a fair amount of seniority, actually, by that point.
Yeah, I would think I did, but There was a lot of wheeling and dealing there, you know, what do you call it, office politics there. Though, you know, it all had to be fair. You had to go by seniority mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. But I think they fudged a lot on that, the way they always can on those things.
Did you anticipate the possibility of returning to Lockheed? Was there any...
No, they didn't seem to be, because... You know, the war was over. We were never going back to war. We weren't going to need any war planes anymore. That was another war to end all wars.
Now, do you recall what the unemployment process was like?
Oh, not really. It was another thing to get in line and fill out forms and all that stuff, and then you had to wait. I know you couldn't collect right away. I think there was a waiting period of a couple of weeks or I don't know how long.
And did they send you out on jobs? Do you recall?
No, they never did. Nobody ever sent me mm-hmm. on a job from there. There were so many people, I suppose they didn't have jobs.
Yeah. The point at which, when you were laid off in November 45, your two older kids were making a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And that was it, in terms of the family mm-hmm. income, basically.
Maybe 45, they must have been still at school. I don't believe they... I think Grace graduated in 47.
But she was working on...
Yeah, she was working on Saturdays. And, yeah, Kenny had some kind of a job. He always had a job. You can name any place in the whole city, and Kenny worked there.
Now, what was? How did you make out then during that time when you were unemployed?
Well, the unemployment money was. It wasn't. I don't remember how much it was or what anything about it, and I know it wasn't as much as I got, but somehow it was adequate. You got through. Oh, and then, yeah, must have been at Thanksgiving. Lockheed employees, whatever, organization, they sent me a basket of food, a turkey and the whole, you know, a Thanksgiving dinner. And that was really great because, you know, I don't know what we would have had otherwise. And then at Christmas time, I thought maybe we spent it with my brother or something because we didn't have much of anything. But I know each one of the children came to me on the quiet and said, Mother, can't even tell it. And I don't need anything for Christmas. Give it to the girls, whatever we had to do. Emma and my daughters came and said, Grace said, no, don't think about me. She said, I don't think Kenny needs anything either. But, you know, the little kids, every one of them said that.
So the whole family was
aware
of the circumstances and in it together.
Yeah, they certainly knew what it was all about,
mm-hmm.
what it was like to be hungry sometimes. But anyway, it's all over now, and they're all so great.
So tell me how you went about finally finding a job then. So your next job was, you got in January.
Yeah, it was in, that was right. It was right after New Year's that I went to work there. I went to work in an insurance company, and it was a small company. I think they're not in business any longer. They were on... next to Barker Brothers. Oh, you don't live in, do you live in, ever lived in Los Angeles?
Not in the downtown, no.
Oh, well, it's, I don't know, it's Flower Street, uh-huh. I think, downtown, uh-huh. anyway. And the pay wasn't very, you know, wasn't, I don't think it was as much as I had been making, but it was all right.
How did you get the job, do you remember?
I guess in the classified ads. I think I answered that. I went to so many employment agencies and answered so many ads, because all those weeks, you know, I was going mm-hmm. just about every day. And I don't really remember how I got that job.
Did you think of looking for an industrial job, or did you think only in terms of the clerical
kind? Well, I thought of anything, whatever, but mm-hmm. there was just nothing. It was a very bad time. Everybody, you know, say everybody was out of work, and it was rough. You couldn't find anything.
Now, what was your life like then with that job? Because that would change dramatically. You'd be on a daytime shift.
Yeah, it was daytime, and the job was nothing. What I did was the same thing as an insurance agent that goes around and, well, I don't know if they do. No, I don't know if they do that anymore. You know, he had a book with all these clients and he went and collected the insurance. I don't suppose they do that now. No, I suppose people send their money in or something. But
oh, so you went out collecting?
No, I didn't do that. I did the same exact thing except in the office. People who paid in the office.
I see.
And I had a debit, this book with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to enter their payments. And the cashier gave me mm-hmm. their receipts, their, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, for their money. And then I entered it. And I had to I'd keep those books up to date and balanced and everything. And wrote letters when they didn't pay, you know, when I had to write letters mm-hmm. telling them.
What was your title? Do you remember? Was
I don't remember.
Because it wasn't a cashier's job.
No, it wasn't. No, it was
a bookkeeper's job.
It was sort of a bookkeeper. I don't know what they called me.
What were your hours there?
Well, about 8 to 5, I guess 8 to 4, something like that.
But not Saturday?
No, no Saturdays.
How did you organize your life then with this new day shift compared to?
Well, I don't know. I didn't have any. It wasn't any big wrench. I just the way I do everything. You just that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do.
Well, what did you do for instance about sleeping right there?
Well, by that time, I don't know. They must. I can't. I don't know. I just don't know. I thought by that time they would have been, somebody would have been gone, but they weren't, because they couldn't have been gone from home then. Grace got married very soon. She was very, very young. I think Michael was born in 1948, so she was married in 1947. But that was a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't imagine.